Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. I think this is an important broadcast. Hopefully it will shed some light on some things maybe for some people, but bring sanity again, sort of the way that Fred in Iowa put it. I mean, to me, it's cathartic to call a thing what it is instead of dancing around the 800-pound gorilla in the room, pretending that it doesn't exist and it's not boxing our ears constantly. It's very frustrating to see this happening in society. And now we're coddling, cajoling, and catering to these people that we've raised wrong. And this is all a tragic and unfortunate development. I want to go to the phones again. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And kind of talk about this stuff. Narcissism is coming up here in a second. We'll talk about that more. But first, let's go to the phones. Dave in Wisconsin, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Chris. Important subject matter, extremely important. I went to church one Sunday, and there was a sermon that was delivered that has remained with me in terms of its importance, in that the minister was describing how it's really important to guard against secular terminology replacing biblical terminology. And so that's important to keep in mind whenever discussing secular subjects like psychology or psychiatry. Mm-hmm. And in that context, there are people that, I'll give two examples that have asserted a positiveness about two characteristics that are psychological labeling or descriptions. One, the one that you're naming. Now, John Stadtmiller is a really solid guy. He himself described himself with that description before in one of his broadcasts. So there must be more than one definition. And then in another situation, a man and his wife and me after church were talking, and she said, well, he is passive-aggressive. And I said, what's that, left, right, left? It's it's easy to get caught up in a confusion unless someone is aware that those are secular terms and definitions. But right. The term narcissistic must have a something of a description or more than one definitions, because I view John Stadtmiller as being very solidly both feet on the ground. But with that being said, there is a forced cognitive dissonance, an institutionalized deception that not very many people are even aware of today, and it negatively affects almost everyone that has ever served in the military services. And it was reformed somewhat. It was basically subliminated in some other coding. But at the time when I was released from the service, there was what is called a DD-214. And we were all instructed, when you get out of the service, make sure you provide this to your potential employer, especially if it's a government employment situation. And in that DD-214 is what we call a SPIN code. It's a SPN code, but it's just called a SPIN code. And in that coding, it's essentially psychiatric and psychological profiling of everyone that has served, and almost all of them are detrimental. In other words, it's institutionalized discrimination against people that have loyalty to America.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, I just wanted to make that point, and in wonderful subject matter, this is grabbing the bull by the horn. So I thank you for this, and I'll be listening on the sidelines here.
All right. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate your call, as always. And I would maybe circle back around and just reiterate that, yes, I mean, as the sermon you heard that you alluded to, as that pastor pointed out, beware of the replacement of biblical terminology with what's referred to as secular terminology. And again, Arnold J. Toynbee wrote about how civilizations are changed in that manner. I talked about that earlier, but I would perhaps add, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I will say, from my standpoint, there's one life. We have one life. And so this, just to kind of be clear and circle back around, kind of to where I was, the spoiler alert in the first hour, there's only one life. There is no distinction per se between biblical and secular. That's one of the misnomers that we fall prey to if we're not careful. And I'm not trying to put words in Dave's mouth or say that he was saying anything or the pastor wasn't. I'm just clarifying for folks who might be listening that there's one life. And that terminology, essentially what the transition is doing is leading us away from God. And so, as I said in the first hour, the spoiler alert on all of the subject matter is that we suffer from what some might call a sclerotic heart condition, a hardness of heart. And therefore, the remedy is Ezekiel 18, 30 through 32 in particular. As a nation, we kind of fall under the same condition, the same heart condition, as we see mentioned in Ezekiel 18, and that is the antidote to this problem. It really is. So this conversion of language, or perversion of language, as it may be referred to subvert society, or to the subversion of society, is in an effort, again, to lead us away from God. And really, that's what ends up happening. I've talked about how the book in the movie The Matrix that Mr. Anderson opens up, that he has his discs stored in his simulacra and simulation by Jean Baudrillard, which talks about the way that we get away from reality. It's similar to what Paul talks about in Romans 1. I've talked about that in the past. And basically, the first, we end up worshiping the creature and the creation rather than the creator, as Paul put it in Romans 1. And that happens by degrees of separation. First, there is, well, we have a creation, and then there's the homage to creation, a painting or a sculpture, for example. And then there's the homage to the homage, which would be impressionist art, for example, or something like that. And then you, by the third or fourth degree, by the fourth degree of separation from there, there is no attachment to reality. It reminds me of for example, buttons on the web. Buttons on the web in web programming were originally supposed to look like a real button in life. It's a thing that you can click, you depress, and it performs a function. But online, quickly, we moved away from imitating real life to a complete detachment from reality. And that's one example. So this transition of language, or perversion of language, leads us away from God. The antidote is Ezekiel 18, a new heart, to deal with that sclerotic heart condition, or the hardness of heart, as the Bible calls it. And as I read in the first hour, Ezekiel 18, 30 through 32 reads, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" And as I said, the same could be said of America today, I believe. "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore repent and live." And that sounds redundant. I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. But doing a word study on it is provocative and fascinating, I would say. So I'll leave that to the listener. But I would say the same words apply to America today. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, America? Why? We are committing suicide in this society. We've been led astray by the suggestibilists, as I would call them, those who, by the power of suggestion, and it's so subtle and it's so imperceptible in ways, it comes down from on high, from the ministry of truth, the mini truth, and filters down through systems of education and all these subtle little artful sound bites that the nuanced NLP type of sound bites that find their way into academia and the media and different places. And usually the intellectuals who are not part of the power elite start to adopt them first because, as we heard Peter Thiel say in that clip we play from his talk at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, the talks with Tyler, it's part of that series. He said the intellectuals are most often more easily susceptible to this kind of stuff because they think themselves smart. And so it's kind of a weakness in a sense, sort of their Achilles heel, ironically. But I want to talk about this, the issue of narcissism in particular. Again, narcissists and sociopaths sort of predominate American culture these days, and it is causing problems in our society that really don't get discussed, unfortunately. So I'm gonna circle back around. We'll talk a little bit about the narcissist specifically. Actually, let me touch on this, and we'll go back to the phones in just a second here. First, let me just say, we'll come back to that because I want to play just a brief bit, like a minute or two, of Simon Sinek's talk again, how he describes the millennial generation. He says they've been accused of being narcissistic and self-absorbed, having a grandiose personality. I'll touch on this real quick. Going to Wikipedia and just looking at sort of a clinical assessment of NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, it's interesting to correlate the signs and symptoms to what Simon Sinek talked about. So from the Wikipedia entry, it states, according to the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual 5, individuals with NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, have most or all of the following symptoms, typically without commensurate qualities or accomplishments. I think it's interesting to note, by the way, that at the outset of the Wikipedia entry are these words: the cause of narcissistic personality disorder is unknown. Isn't that clever? And yet, under signs and symptoms, tell me if this doesn't sound like how we're led to believe this is what good parenting does. So according to the DSM-5, individuals with NPD have most or all of the following symptoms, typically without commensurate qualities or accomplishments. Grandiose, with expectations of superior treatment from others. Isn't that what Simon Sinek talked about? It's special. Fixated on fantasies of power and success, intelligence, attractiveness, etc. Isn't that what he talked about? I'm not making an impact. They have this fantasy of power, success, intelligence, etc. 3, self-perception of being unique, superior, and associated with high-status people and institutions. 4, needing constant admiration from others. That's basically what happens when parents raise kids like this. 5, sense of entitlement. He said, Simon Sinek said, millennials are accused of being entitled. Sense of entitlement to special treatment and to obedience from others. That's how they behave. And parents are all confused these days about how normal social dynamics work, apparently. 6, exploitative of others to achieve personal gain. 7, unwilling to empathize with others' feelings, wishes, or needs. We've talked about it on this broadcast, how they seem, it's just their world. There are no other people. They seem obtuse or oblivious to the fact that there are others in the world. 8, intensely envious. envious of others and the belief that others are equally envious of them. 9, pompous and arrogant demeanor. And that seems to categorize millennials pretty well. They're haughty and disrespectful in most cases. And again, as Simon Sinek put it, it's not their fault. They, again, no such thing, bad student, only bad teacher, as Miyagi would say. And in this case, the parents had a bad teacher too. So we're raising generation after generation of failures, unfortunately. So it's interesting to note, just briefly, that one of the other symptoms is, well, just one quick note on that. According to Groupman and Cooper, 2006, the following factors have been identified by various researchers as possible factors that promote the development of NPD. In other words, this is part of what causes NPD. And this sounds like the parenting manual that parents of millennials have used. Listen to this. An oversensitive temperament at birth. Excessive admiration that is never balanced with realistic feedback. Isn't that, you know, parents are led to believe that kids are supposed to get participation trophies and pat on the back. I forget the CEO who just made the commencement speech recently that said, you know, you heard some of that stuff when you were growing up. Everybody gets a trophy. And that's not how life really works, kids. I forget her name, but I thought her commencement speech was excellent in that regard. So excessive admiration that is never balanced with realistic feedback. Excessive praise for good behaviors or excessive criticism for bad behaviors in childhood. Or again, participation trophies and nonsense like that. Overindulgence and over-evaluation by parents, other family members or peers. There's a video floating around, maybe we'll play coming up, that I think touches on this goofy nonsense very well. Being praised for perceived exceptional looks or abilities by adults, severe emotional abuse in childhood. And that's, I mean, I've talked about that in this broadcast, that we're all survivors of psychological abuse in this society today, in this, the torture that we all endure in this scientific dictatorship or this technocratic society called America, which is very unfortunate. Unpredictable or unreliable caregiving from parents. Again, this is part of the learned helplessness because the ground keeps shifting. And as Santayana put it, progress far from consisting in change depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve, no possible course is set for, or no course is set for possible improvement. Right? Learning manipulative behaviors from parents or peers. That's how this society works. Again, watch Adam Curtis's 4-part BBC documentary, Century of the Self. The Bernaysian manipulation that takes place at various levels. The oppressor-oppressed paradigm, as Paulo Freire put it in Pedagogy of the Oppressed back in the 60s. And valued by parents as a means to regulate their own self-esteem. And one just brief final note is the fact that the merging of the inflated self-concept and the actual self is seen in the inherent grandiosity of narcissistic personality disorder. Also inherent in this process are the defense mechanisms of denial, idealization, and devaluation. But the last thing I wanted to mention was this, yeah, associated features. People with NPD tend to exaggerate their skills. Again, does this sound like millennials? And accomplishments, as well as their level of intimacy with people they consider to be high status. And that phrase in particular, just kind of end this thought on a perhaps humorous note, reminds me of, remember Gloria Upson's character from Auntie Mame back in 1958? Gloria Upson, the character who would say things like, Bonnie Bixler and I were in the semifinals, the very semifinals, mind you, of the ping pong tournament at the club, and this ghastly thing happened. Remember that? Reminds me of Gloria Upson's character from Antonym. Anyway, let's go back to the phones real quick. We'll go to the phones after the break. How about that?
Be right back. And to the phones, it will go.
Stick around.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policy.
Video that I was talking about or referring to that really kind of demonstrates this goofy brand of parenting is titled Everyone's a Winner. Maybe we'll play a clip from it or all of it in the next segment. But it's by the YouTube channel Studio C if you're interested, and it's titled Everyone's a Winner. And then there's another one they did, which is titled You're So Lucky, and that's kind of what they do. It's kind of the same thing. It's really awful. But that, if you watch it and you understand what's happening in America, it really is an accurate depiction of what's going on. It's supposed to be humorous, but it's somewhat sardonic. Anyway, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Glenn and Philly. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Hi.
Hey, Glenn.
I hear you talking about narcissism and cognitive dissonance, passive mm-hmm. aggressiveness. Nobody seems
more
to
like
care about the apathy.
But yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's part of it. Now, absolutely.
That's a joke, Chris. But boom, nobody seems to care about the apathy. Anyway,
right. Doesn't they don't care? You know, is it what was it? They don't care. It doesn't matter. The old joke, we've talked about that in the past.
Yeah,
is
with
it
apathy
or
it's an apathy? I don't know. And I don't care. Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, there's a name for this thing with kids. It's called spoiled brat. You know, it's a. Basically, you know, what you're describing is this, you know, in these parenting things results in a bunch of spoiled brats with almost no knowledge base, no skill sets, no nothing. I saw a 16-year-old kid the other week looking at a clock that was had all an analog clock had all fives on it. It was a joke. It said it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and this kid made a big deal, like, oh, I can read this, like it was some great achievement that she could somehow read the normal time from this clock with all fives, but she still, you know, it was like 8:32, and she didn't quite even get that right, you know. She said like 35, and it's like, wow, these kids, it scares me, the more I interact with adolescents these days, how little they know, and you know, talk about the dopamine addiction thing. My God, they are addicted to screens. They're addicted to alpha wave brain states from the television and the dopamine rush from interacting with the phone. And they can't put the damn things down. They don't know how to work a mop and a dustpan or a broom and a dustpan or a mop and a bucket or, they can't cook an egg. They have zero skills.
In many cases, that's not an exaggeration. I've actually seen kids that can't work a broom properly. And that's,
It's
not to be cruel, but it's unfortunate what we're doing.
Yeah, if they wouldn't know what a pair of slip joint pliers is or anything, Or the commercials on TV that show two adolescent boys on the phone not knowing how to change a tire. I've seen people complain about this. I mean, when I was 16, I was, changing the radiator in my car and taking out the radiator and taking it down to the shop to have it acid washed and spot soldered and then bring it home and put it back in with some pointers from my dad,
Exactly.
And it's just scary. But when Dave called, he talked about the dichotomy between, sorry, I got a school bus passing, the dichotomy between biblical terminology and secular terminology. I went to a Christian college and did a BA in biblical studies with a minor in psychology. There's this huge emphasis on attempting to integrate, and sort through psychology as it relates to biblical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Dave used the term cognitive dissonance, which is very much a psychological term, but one with which we're all very familiar. There's nothing inherently wrong with that term when you're conflicted. I mean, you can usually apply biblical terms to some of these things, like the double mind, the cognitive dissonance. The double-minded man cannot expect to receive anything from God.
James 1. Yep. Is unstable in all his ways. Ought to expect nothing. Yep.
Yep. And the passive aggressiveness, well, that's essentially like the sin of sins of omission. The passive aggressive person is always not doing something he or she should, which affords them plausible deniability. It's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. It's like, any particular reason you didn't hold that door and allowed it to close on me, or any particular reason you didn't do such and such. It's like, oh, that's not my fault. I didn't do anything. No, nothing wrong here. So it's the passive aggressive. It's the sin of omission when you know you ought to do what you should and don't do it.
Right, and that reminds me of what Paul wrote in Romans 14:23, for example, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because his eating is not from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin, but also over in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 11, the
if
hall of
faith.
If any
man knoweth to do good, but doeth not, to him it is sin.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yep. And that's...
I'll hold if you don't mind, if it's okay with you.
Not at all. Yep. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Wednesday, July 19th, 2017, and phone lines are stacking up, so we need to do that. But Glenn, the two verses that you referred to, the double-minded man, is James 1:8, for those listening if it matters, and the other, which is fantastic, therefore to one who knows to do right and does it not, to him it is sin. That's James 4:17, not Hebrews, like I was thinking. So anyway, those are great references. I certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, they tie into cognitive dissonance and passive aggressiveness, you know, certainly. I also want to mention about narcissism. Dave put his finger on something important. He talked about words having more than one definition. And I run into this all the time. People seem to be, fixated on the notion of only one definition. If you open the dictionary, you'll see multiple number definitions for a lot of words, and those definitions are denotations. And then each denotation has its own connotation or the feel or the sense of it, which can vary with the context in which it's used. So, a lot of words have more than one definition. Now, narcissism in the classical sense of the personality disorder, you know, it's relatively rarely seen. This person who's, like, obsessed with their self-image and their appearance. And in the movie K-Pax with Kevin Spacey, where he was in a mental institution briefly, one of the characters in there was the classical narcissistic personality disorder obsessed with their makeup and being looking in the mirror all the time.
Yeah.
And narcissism, in that sense, ties into the has its origin from the myth of Narcissus in Greek mythology. We have the plant, the flower, called the Narcissus plant, and which grows along riverbanks and hangs out over the water. And in the myth of Narcissus, you know, I guess mirrors weren't that prevalent back in the day. I guess maybe they had some polished metal mirrors or something, but they weren't. People didn't, you know, spend as much time in front of mirrors then as they do now. But Narcissus would hang over the edge of the riverbank and look at himself. He was enamored with his own reflection in the water, and eventually he fell in and perished. And the Narcissus flower popped up along the riverbank. So that's the origin of the Narcissus plant and the character, you know, Narcissus who fell in. But in a second definition of that, more like he was referring to colloquially, it's used more for someone who's very selfish and self-absorbed. So we hear we hear narcissism thrown around as someone who's very, very self-absorbed and like the kind of kids you were, you know, talking about, the spoiled brat and, you know, all that sort of thing, grandiose, expecting great praise for doing next to nothing, all that stuff. So, you know, that narcissistic nature. And narcissism, if when you're reading like developmental psychology and the history of that and stuff, you know, a lot of times, you know, this self-absorption, the selfishness, I mean, when you think about it, selfishness is the essence of sin, really, whether it's, you know, Lucifer falling from his place wanting to be like God, or Lucifer tempting Adam and Eve to be like God. There's always this inherent selfishness associated with sin. Mm-hmm. But it's also
a great point, too.
Like this is, since we're all sinners, yeah, and as children, a certain degree of narcissism is expected among the self-centered child as it grows, and that's the whole point of character development and disciplining your child and inculcating skills and social skills is to snuff that out and make the person a certainly redemptive individual along the way.
Right. The terrible twos are that convulsive period where you realize that the world doesn't actually revolve around you, or at least it doesn't anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, if you look at Freud, it's at one level. Freud had five stages of psychosexual development: oral, anal, phallic, latent, and genital. And you see the self-absorption at the phallic level, and then latent and genital is like the, you know, more actualized and healthy, you know, adult. If you look at Jean-Claude Piaget, you know, he's not sure if he thought there were times when early on when the baby didn't even differentiate between itself and the mother, the bond was so strong, and then, you know, the child differentiates and grows, and then you have, you know, this selfishness is addressed, you know, as the child grows and then becomes socialized. I mean, what's one of the first things you teach kids to do in daycare in kindergarten? Is share the toy, Bobby. You know, you have two trucks. Let Cindy have one, and you can have the other. We begin by teaching our children at their young age to share with other children, to think of somebody other than themselves.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, this is that's all I really have to say. It's like, yes, we're, you know, we bring our selfishness with us all through life, you know, and the epitome of overcoming that is to love your neighbor as yourself, to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and, you know, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
The second is like unto it, Jesus said. Yep. Absolutely.
You know, John, First Epistle of John, Theos Estim Agape, God is love. It's like, wow, you know. So anyway.
Absolutely.
All right, that's all I had.
Appreciate it, Glenn. As always, very insightful, and thank you.
Okay, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Great stuff. Only thing I would maybe say that reminds me of, you know, the defining of terms. It's been a while, but I usually say let's define terms because that is important, as Glenn pointed out. And I am reminded of when Zbigniew Brzezinski used the term neologism. It's a neologism, he said. And I thought that's interesting coming from him, speaking of defining terms, as Glenn was talking about, because the first definition of neologism, and I've spoken about this in the past, when he did it, I forget exactly, it was years ago, but When he did it, I thought it was provocative. So the first and primary definition of a neologism is a new word, meaning, usage, or phrase. But on down the line, under psychiatric terms, a neologism is a new word often consisting of a combination of other words that is understood only by the speaker, occurring most often in the speech of schizophrenics, which I thought was probably more fitting in Zbigniew Brzezinski's case, but I digress. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. The phone lines are lighting up, and political ponderology comes to mind in all of this too, the evilizing of America by degrees, which is why Jefferson was right, a departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, until the bulk of society is reduced to mere automatons from misery with sensibilities left only for sinning and suffering. So political ponderology is a subject that Renee in North Carolina we've discussed, and Renee's on the phone. Let's grab Renee. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome. How's that for an intro?
Yeah, you know, the children are at such a disadvantage because they don't have a time machine. Their elders can lie their behinds off. Oh, almost said it. And they can't check, okay? So the thing is, and people tend to have a flattering self-image of themselves than what is reality. And they feed this to the children as real, and conservatives are the best at this. Their crack cocaine for self-esteem is romanticized past history of the United States. You know, like, where the truth is, you know, because it's like, oh, the good old days when everybody was better, and, oh, you children today, y'all not worth as good as we were. And the thing is, even the British colonists and stuff they love to speak so highly of would have died, okay? You're supposed to be, oh, everybody was such hard working back then and so wonderful. They would have died. They couldn't make it. Most of them died through the first winter. Sometimes some of the first colonies, every one of them died. It took a few tries. The thing is, they weren't that great at surviving themselves, okay? And if the Indians hadn't helped them, something I'm sure they regret to this day, because their kindness was repaid by killing them, enslaving them, and stealing their land. Okay, so the thing is, and you know, this whole thing you see, people want to believe that part of the Bible, well, if you raise up your kid like he's going to go, everything's going to work out fine. Wait, there's another part of the Bible. Okay? When you're young, you want to believe that because it makes you feel like you have power and control over your own life. But there's nature and nurture and environment, and there's a lot of other factors. That kid kind of comes in with some of his own inherent tendencies. And so it's nature and nurture and a lot of other things. Because I've observed in life some people, I had this old jackass neighbor down the street. He was a horrible person, okay? In his 80s, but his three wonderful daughters took great care of him, okay? Well, he deserved a foot up his, you know. And so the thing is, then I'll see other people who are wonderful people, who their parents, their kids and everyone else have gone off, and they were good and loving people, and just ignore them. So I wish there was less randomness on how things happen, but it is. Like, and here's Exhibit A from the Bible. Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Were they good parents to one and bad to the other? Because one turned out good and the other one, you know, was a killer. So the thing is, you know, people pick the part of the Bible that supports the part that they want to believe, okay, because it comforts them or whatever. But the thing is, right in that story right there, the first two sons, you know, you had one good and one bad. So it's,
well, that's
like,
interesting you mentioned that.
Did they treat one good and they did a bad job with the other one?
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned that, and the parts that people pick to reinforce what they want to believe.
I
think right now would be a opportune moment for John to add his two cents to the Cain and Abel narrative. But I digress perhaps a little bit, and I'll leave that to John if he calls in. Anyway, yeah, interesting point.
Well, like I said, I just you know, the kid, you know, there's so many factors. And like I say, yeah, there are some that description of some of the kids, it fits, and then you see others that are wonderful. I saw a news article. Yeah. A little grandmother the other day, how she was so, it came out, she was so grateful for the wonderful little checker at the grocery store who was so gracious to her. And in her kind of her second best, she was, well, I wish my grandson was more like him. You know, so the thing is, I wish there were easier explanations, but I've just seen randomness where the stuff doesn't turn out. Just like, you know, you talk about a lot of how the evil rise to the top. They're not getting right. what they deserve, and there's a lot of good people at the bottom are catching flack and getting the short end of the stick, and the evil are rising to the top and getting goodness, and poor people stuck at the bottom who maybe refuse to stoop to their level are getting the worst of it. So, you know, I tried to make that system work, you know, but the thing is, yeah. always being good and just being patient and waiting and thinking I was going to get back finally someday, you know, what came back. And finally, I just gave up. I'm good because I like to be good. I enjoy being good. But let me tell you, it don't come back very often. If it comes back to you, you're lucky. You know, because you do not necessarily sow what you have reaped. You know,
well, and I think sometimes it takes
road.
A long time.
He was Exhibit A.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it takes a long time sometimes. And I think this really does kind of circle back around to the antidote being that change of heart. You know, get a new heart, get a new spirit, God tells us. And I mentioned the passage in Ezekiel 18, verses 30 through 32. But God does encourage us to do that. Romans 12, for example, I mentioned before, is a place where we are encouraged and even exhorted to live the sort of wholesome and humble life and be at peace with all people as our ability to do so dictates, because it does come around in our example.
No, it does. Remember, oppressors and oppressed. Sure. Do oppressed people deserve what they got? Did they
exactly.
do anything to deserve it? They didn't.
Exactly. And as I point out, I think Paulo Freire's assessment of the oppressor-oppressed paradigm is brilliant in Pedagogy of the Oppressed. I don't agree with his Marxist solution, as he calls it, which I don't think it is. It's creates more infighting. But he says his assessment is the oppressed is, the victim is actually responsible for breaking out of that caste system and not becoming a greater oppressor, which is typically what happens, than the oppressor that abuses the oppressed. And that kind of fits the biblical model in my opinion, and kind of what we're talking about. So it is frustrating.
Yeah,
I'm not dismissing
the cycle, and that's how power
right.
corrupts.
Well,
what power
listen,
does.
Let me clarify, though. I'm not dismissing what you're saying or trying to downplay it at all, or saying being Pollyanna or holier than thou, and saying that I don't suffer from the same kind of condition that you're talking about. I feel the same way. I'm fed up, and I have a real hard time. I'll be honest. I have a very difficult time most of the time not voicing my displeasure with the state of things. I think it's atrocious what's happening in this society. And the worst part of all, in my opinion, is, as I said in the first hour, it is a societal soft kill, in my opinion. If this all of a sudden is a society that is built on the service industry, if it's really just a service-based economy, by and large, by some estimates, then why is service so horrible? That's a recipe for suicide, essentially, economic suicide. So we're being suicided in a variety of ways in that fashion, and that's the part really that breaks my heart the most, I think.
Yeah,
but I'm very outspoken about it.
I have one more point. The thing is, but this is how it happens. It's not the people at the bottom that people tend to blame so much, because they don't have power. Even in the Bible, why can't Christians get this? It's like, well, Jesus hung out with the underclass, who, to what I call the trilogy of evil, is the religious leaders of the day, the government people of the day, and the bankers. So the bankers control the money, the religious people control the mind, and the government controls the law by force. The thing is, that is like a trilogy of evil, okay? And if they're the ones that cause the...
You're absolutely right.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth?
Go back to the phone. Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. Hopefully it's been informative. It wasn't meant to be a rant, but hopefully, again, somewhat cathartic for everyone listening as well. Because we have these real issues that we need to deal with. I'm not picking on anyone per se, But we should be doing something about it. The antidote is the Bible. That passage in particular, Ezekiel 18, Renee mentioned, you know, I wish Christians could get it. Some get it. And speaking of that, you know, we see the dressing down of the chain of command, so to speak, in places like Hosea 4. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a passage that a lot of people look to. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear, this is God speaking, of course, from heaven, will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Those kinds of passages ring true. But the antidote is Ezekiel 18, Romans 12, those kinds of things. Get a new heart, get a new spirit. And we do have a sclerotic heart condition, I would say, and that's really kind of the problem. It is the selfishness, that century of self-induced selfishness that has then brought us to the point where we're raising these kids who, as Simon Sinek put it, are, it's not their fault. They were dealt a bad hand. Anyway, let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Pat in Texas. Pat, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. Well, I was going to play the devil's advocate and say that, there's a book called Games People Play. It used to be popular back in the day by Eric Byrne. And you get some ideas in there. Like an alcoholic, he's playing games with everybody. Persecutor, rescuer, and all this stuff. And you got to make sure you don't fall into one of those categories, you know, of enabling and all that kind of stuff. But the best thing to do is to just be led of the Lord, right? That's Christian talk. And they don't understand that, you know. They want a false Holy Ghost, that alcohol, that drug, that dopamine rush, you know. Maybe they just ought to take niacin and vitamins, you know. Get energy instead of eating. You know, they don't want to eat good and all this kind of stuff. So you got to take care of your body. God said you had to, you know. And there are over two, I've heard this, I don't have a book on it. There's over 200 commandments, but there's 300 promises. So it's like God makes contracts with you, you know. And my husband, teacher, he said when I had a difficult child, he just wouldn't make it. And he was close to passing, failing, or B or A, or I'd make a contract with him, see if he could follow that. So they learned contracts. Well, that's America, right? You know?
Yeah.
You break it. Sorry. It was your doing.
Brilliant.
And the other thing is that if you do read the Bible, I tell everybody, they say, don't you get upset? I say, yeah. But I read the Bible. Every time the devil gets me upset, I run and grab the Bible.
That's great advice. That's great to go out on, folks. That's great advice. I hope it was informative. As always, it is an honor and pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today, it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.